Malcolm Mulholland is with us, a stronger advocate for people who need life-enhancing drugs there has never been in New Zealand. Now, Health New Zealand's apology over the pausing of surveillance colonoscopies for more than 800 patients at Palmerston North Hospital has reignited concerns about whether delayed care, specialist shortages and growing hospital pressures are the symptoms of a wider health system that is under-resourced and understaffed. We have been speaking about that a lot. From Patient Voice, Aotearoa, Malcolm Mulholland. Thanks for your time, Malcolm. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Dale.
Thanks. You've described the colonoscopy pause as putting lives at risk. Do you see this as an isolated failure just in Palmerston North, or is a clear example of an under-resourced and understaffed health system, Malcolm?
Well, no, it's not just in relation to Palmy North. There are certainly other places that are under pressure when it comes to colonoscopies, but this is a failure of the health system. This is a sign of a health system that is in crisis and under pressure. We have since heard, after the story was made public, we've heard from patients from Hawke's Bay to Dunedin, all of whom are saying the exact same thing. We've been waiting for a colonoscopy for God knows how long. We can't get it. And the reason is because there aren't enough gastroenterologists or specialists who can perform that procedure.
Yeah, something I'm aware of this because of a hereditary condition in our family. But that raises concerns. So where are the gastroenterologists then? Have we lost them to overseas? Are we not training as many as we need? What is the reality behind the shortage of opportunities to get colonoscopies done in our country, do you think, Malcolm?
We just can't secure their services. So I don't know that it's necessarily a case of we're not producing enough, we're not training enough. Many of the stories that I hear amongst the profession is that they either go to Auckland or they go to the private sector in which they earn more, or they go to Australia, the UK, or perhaps Canada, because again, they pay more. And that was a question that I directly put to those who are in charge of Health New Zealand at our public meeting. Please tell me what the issue is. It was very difficult to get to the nub of the issue. I didn't really get a clear answer, but certainly having spoken to those who work in the field, they do attribute a lot of the inability to retain their services down to the lack of a competitive offer compared to what they can earn overseas and in the private sector.
Yeah, well, that's a you've summed it up pretty well then. So the moneyed up private sector or the lure of bigger bucks overseas is really behind the shortage. So what needs to occur to counteract that? I guess what you're suggesting is straight away, pay rises for gastroenterologists. Well, that'd be a start. But first, you've got to acknowledge the problem. Is the government or the health sector doing that?
No, not from what I've been hearing. So you're absolutely right. I think we need to be competitive when we're making offers. I think the other thing we can do is look at our new graduates and see whether or not we can make more appealing offers in harder staff areas, in particular in our provincial hospitals. So that might be something like saying to them, well, look, we'll take care of your student loan. We'll also pay you a good wage, but you have to stay in this area for, could be 3 years, could be 5 years, in order for us to keep these people that we desperately need for people with serious bowel conditions.
So are you saying that regional New Zealand are more at risk of dying from bowel issues and complications than people living in urban centres?
Well, Health New Zealand themselves actually came out and said we have a problem when it comes to provincial New Zealand. So they were quite open about the fact that they are really struggling to retain specialists. And they weren't just referring to specialists in the gastroenterology department. They were talking about specialists right across the board. So, you know, that's got to ring or raise alarm bells for us. And we have to have a serious look at what we can do to address the problem.
If we can't get people to come and live in provincial New Zealand, even though many who arrive at these towns, proud towns, you know, love it, but you know they might be from overseas. They've trained in urban settings. They grew up in the Big Smoke. Just unwilling to move to New Plymouth or Palmerston North. So what are we going to do about that? What's patient voice advocating for here? Finding doctors in rural New Zealand has been a struggle. Digital communication or telehealth, etc., is that at all helpful from your organisation's perspective, Malcolm?
Well, digital health does have its place in the health system. We're not saying that it doesn't, but I think that we need a bit more of a nuanced approach. So, first of all, you need a specialist who can conduct the procedure itself. The actual analysis of the results and what the next steps are can actually be conducted elsewhere, but the actual colonoscopy itself must be conducted in person in the provincial hospitals. There's no real way around that. I think we would like to see, you know, the government and Health New Zealand get serious around the issue of bonding specialists to these places. And then if there's a further issue about trying to attract people there, then I think we need to have another discussion about, well, maybe we've got to fly them in and fly them out as they basically operate now, because we know that they operate via locums. We know that that is what is filling the gap here in Palmerston North. They're getting people from outside of the region to come in. The thing I would also say, though, about relying on locums is that our bills tend to be a lot more than what it would be to actually pay them to keep them in the service.
Well, the main thing is that people are unnecessarily dying, and that's something that the health system can't guarantee, can they? And I know it's a political football, and it needs to be, because health is such an important aspect of our expectation as a modern society. We are constantly reminded of our shortcomings within the issue of this situation at Waikatoa, which you'd be familiar with, Malcolm, and ED and 9-hour waits. I think the average now is 6 across our emergency departments and hospitals over, you know, up and down the country. So what do you think needs to happen here with our wider health system as a strong advocate and for patient voice? I know it's a big nut to crack, but we've got to start somewhere. Where do we need to make our first moves?
Staffing. We need more staff. And, you know, it seems to me it doesn't matter where you go in the country, whatever ED you attend, we don't have enough staff. We don't know the full details of what happened up at Waikato, but certainly what has been suggested in the media thus far is that they were understaffed and they continue to be so. So that would be the number one issue that I'd be telling the authorities and the Minister of Health to attend to. They desperately need more staff. The other thing that they need is more space. So just to give you a couple of examples, Dale, my mother's actually been a recent person who was admitted to Christchurch ED, went in there with quite a serious lung virus and really should still be in hospital. She's back home now, and she was informed by the doctors there that they just don't have enough space. They were very apologetic. It's not their fault, but they were apologising to her, saying, really, you should be here. We don't have the bed space. They have bed block. And so she was discharged and sent home. I'm also aware of the new building, the new ED that opened over in Taranaki just recently, 2 weeks ago. There is a unit in there, the acute unit, and that unit, acute assessment unit, and that unit is there to take some of the pressure off ED. They're unable to open that unit because they don't have any staffing. So you have effectively a white elephant, a space that's available for patients to go, but they can't open that facility because they don't have any staff.
Well, it's like Keystone Cops then, if that's the case. In one area, we haven't got enough beds. The next, we've got the beds, but we haven't got enough staff. I mean, who's responsible here? Who's the head gaffer? And does the shortcomings of the organisation he spearheads need to be publicised more? Who's running the show?
Yeah, very good question, Dale. I would love to be able to answer that for you, but right now all I can say, it's the hierarchy of Health New Zealand alongside the Minister. The minister is responsible for the resourcing of the system. It's the hierarchy of Health New Zealand who are responsible for the spend and where it should go. So to me, there are two people or two groups of people, if you like, who are critical in solving this, and they need to come up with a plan and pronto. All we're going to continue to see, if it doesn't happen, Dale, is unfortunately, as every winter passes, the situation will just become worse, because as we know, ED gets filled up to the hilt, especially during winter because of the winter illnesses. So for you and I, getting the flu may not be so serious. We're a bit younger, but certainly as our population ages, our 80-year-olds plus, if you get the flu, that can be a very serious thing. And that's why we're starting to see EDs just simply fill up and spill over.
Thanks very much. We've got a couple of minutes. I spoke earlier in the program to Chris Hipkins, obviously vying for the rights to the chequebook again. But he says there's still room to expand pharmacists' healthcare services. Now, is that just pushing a problem from one area to another, do you think?
I think there's an element of that. Pharmacists do have a very good skill set, if you like, but it's really important that with looking to give them more tasks to do, that they are, again, resourced appropriately, but also we're not asking them to do something that they're not comfortable doing themselves. So it's really important that those conversations are held with the likes of the Pharmacy Council to ensure that pharmacists are comfortable having patients walk in off the street and say, hey, I've got this problem or I've got this certain condition. Can you take a look at it and then recommend to me what it is I should be taking? We have to ensure that they are right for the job.
Gee, Malcolm, you must invest a lot of your nous supporting people within the health sector. I know that Wiki situation sort of pushed you into this space, but you're spending a lot of time on it. I hope it's a paid gig.
No, not at all. No, this is a voluntary job. And I work a 40-hour a week job at Bitmessi to pay the bills.
Okay. Well, even more respect for you and more aroha for your whānau at this special time of the year. Always keen to talk because, you know, patient advocacy is so very important, and challenging political stance also important. Otherwise, they'll just keep dishing out what they think we should get. And to be honest, we all know that we deserve more. So thank you again for the mahi you've been doing and continue to do. Ngā mihi nui ka koe te rangatira, and thanks for sharing some time with us on Wātere again, Malcolm.
Kia ora, thank you.
Te mākoe, thank you. Urban Māori Radio, Malcolm Mulholland, long-time advocate,